We're good.
Yeah.
Okay, the weekly shiur from Maseches Sota, sponsored by David and Paula Baumzer and Olmo Construction, Building Futures. The breakfast is sponsored by Begelman, Shlili Nishmas, Fega Bas Chaim, Shum Ben Zev, Zev Ben David, Sarah Bas Shalom, Chaim Ben Yehoshua, Abel Bas Moshe Yosef, and the Shamas have an Aliyah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so after learning the Gadata for the past pretty much summer, so we take a real shot of cold water in the face and go from Agadata into, like, Kutchin. Sometimes, you know, the shock will, you know, they sometimes, you know, they want to deliver the news a little bit slower and slower. This is like, right, just like that. But in order to just help to understand the first Gemara, we're going to be starting in the middle of Yud Dalma Beis. I actually sent a picture of a diagram of the Mizbeach on the non-kosher phone WhatsApp. So those who have kosher phones, I apologize. But it is there. It's a picture just to help, just to orient you when we're talking about the Mizbeach. And just to introduce it, the Gemara is going to be speaking about, I'll read you the header. The header says, Magisha b'keren dromis maharavis keneged chuda shel keren v'dayo. That when it came to the mincha, the flower offering that the Sota was going to give, so she offers it on the southwest corner, or actually she brings it, the Kohen, actually she's not welcome to the Mizbeach, the Kohen brings it up, the southwest corner of the Mizbeach, and that's considered to be sufficient. We're going to go through this Mishnah, this Braisa, you know, word for word, like a fine-tooth comb. But before we do this, just to give a little preface with the Machlokas that Rashi brings down, is that Rashi brings down there are actually three opinions as to where the Mizbeach was situated now. Somebody asked you, where's the Mizbeach situated? And you said, in the Beis HaMikdash. Of course, you're going to be right. You know, but there's how often do we encounter something that we think we know very well and then realize afterwards that there's a machlokas and we don't really know it so well. So therefore, then we just say, you know what? No, we don't do that. But there's actually three different opinions as to where the Mizbeach was situated. Does it have it in the pictures in the art scroll also? Has diagrams of the Mizbeach also? Okay, good. So that's helpful too. I guess if, I don't know what's worse, using the WhatsApp or using the art scroll, I don't know. For those who have WhatsApp and art scroll, expression later on, it says in the Gemara, Shalo Yechote Niskar, but we won't get into that a little bit later, but okay. But anyways, where exactly was the Mizbeach situated? So there's one opinion that says it was completely on the north side, and that the edge of the Mizbeach was in the center of the Azara. There's another opinion that says it was centered literally in the center. And there's a third opinion that says it was on the south. This particular drawing that I forwarded to you.
When was it?
I just said this morning. Like literally, like I said, a couple before I started the show. You didn't get it? Oh. Oh, so then.
I see errors.
I thought I sent it to Daf Shavua. They sent it to a different WhatsApp group.
I didn't turn my phone on yet.
Oh. So. No, I did send it. I said, oh. Yeah, I just got it now. Okay. I think the connection here is a little slow anyway. But yeah, so here it kind of appears that the Mizbeach is situated more towards the south, as you'll see. So that's how this picture has it. But it's important just to keep that in mind to understand exactly what we're doing in this first particular Gemara.
According to my diagram, it shows it in the east because there's a compass at the bottom.
There's a compass on the bottom. So, well, that's also important just to see, you know, the question is where exactly is the
compass right?
No, but I'm saying, but where exactly is it situated? You know, in the middle or to the right, to the left of the positioning. Yeah, it also does have, the other thing is that the kevesh or the ramp of the Mizbeach was on the south. And that's also a very, very important thing to know in terms of dealing with this Gemara. So the Gemara wants to know, Minolan, how do we know that this particular mincha is brought, or not only this particular mincha, but pretty much every mincha is brought to the southwest corner. So the Pasuk tells us, it says, Dichsiv, v'zos taras ha-mincha, this is the order, or these are the laws of the mincha, ha-krev osach b'nei Aaron lifnei Hashem el p'nei ha-mizbeach, so that the Kohanim should offer it before Hashem, facing the Mizbeach or at the front of the Mizbeach. Now, we usually gloss through this pasuk and say, okay, before Hashem, facing the Mizbeach. What the Gemara is going to do is tell us right now is this actually is an internal contradiction. Because it's impossible, at least seemingly impossible, to go ahead and have something to be lifnei Hashem and at the front of the Mizbeach for the following purposes. This is Bisanya. Brisa tells us, lifnei Hashem, before Hashem, Yachol B'marav, it should be on the west. Because after all, Rashi tells us that you know, if you look at the Mizbeach itself, so the west of the Mizbeach is directly in front of the base of Mikdash. The Aron is right in front of the base, you know, the Aron and the Heichal area, that is on the west side. So the problem is, it says Tamul Omer Panam Mizbeach, the front of the Mizbeach. Where would the front be? The front of the Mizbeach is where you get on the Mizbeach, and that's where the ramp is, and the Kevesh is on the south. So we have this pasuk which seems to be simple, which is actually anything but simple, because it says you should bring it on, you should put it, go ahead and offer it on the west and on the south. Now, how is it possible to offer it on the west and on the south at the same exact time? So, now if you look back at the Mishnah, what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah is going to say that you bring it on the southwest corner. Zoi, this is where the southwest corner comes in. And that's what the Gemara says. Talmud lo, so it says, Yachol b'amarav, Talmud lo panam mizbeach. Yachol panam mizbeach, Yachol b'darom, that I would think you have to bring it in the south. Talmud lo lifnei Hashem. So HaKetzad, how could we rectify this situation, these two psukim, one implying that you offer the korban on the western side of the Mizbeach, and the other one implying that you offer it on the southern side of the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, Magisha b'keren dromis mizrachis, keneged chudo shel keren vidayo. So what do? You offer it on the southwest corner. And by doing it on the southwest corner, you're actually mekayim, I mean, you're actually fitting into both psukim. The first pasuk, which says, Lifnei Hashem, which teaches us the west, and also Panam is Bech, which teaches us the south. So therefore, you come up with southwest. Now, there's another way to look at things, but it's going to come to a similar conclusion, but from a different orientation. So Rabbi Lezer says, Yochol Yagishena b'ma'arava shel keren, o l'dromo shel keren. So I might think that what? Either you do it on the west side of the corner or on the southern side of the corner. So Amrit, so I'll tell you, Kol Mokum Sha'ata Motze Shnei Mikros. Whenever you have two psukim, Echad Mikayim Atzmo U'Mikayim Divri Chaveru, that the first pasuk will actually fit in with the second pasuk, the Echad Mikayim Atzmo U'Mivatel Divri Chaveru, and the second idea would under interpretation will work for itself, but will contradict a different pasuk. So what do? Atzmo, you push aside the interpretation that's going to contradict one of them. Atzmo, and we want to go ahead and favor the pasuk which works according to everybody. We want to have symmetry. We want to make sure that the Torah fits in and it, you know, covers all the ideas. Now, that's a wonderful introduction, but practically in our machlokes, what does this mean? So Rabbi Elazar continues, Kishe'ata omer lifnei Hashem b'ma'arav. When you say before Hashem in the west, so b'taltas p'nei ha-mizbeach, b'darom. That means it can't be at the front of the mizbeach on the south. Ukshita omer el p'nei ha-mizbeach b'darom. But if you say the front of the mizbeach on the south, kiyamta lifnei Hashem, you have also accomplished the pasuk of Lifnei Hashem. How is that possible? B'marav, how is that possible? HaKetzad, Magisha, L'droma shel Karen. You put it on the southern part of the corner. You look at the picture. It will be like the southern part of that corner, that little tip. V'heichan kemtia, how does that work? So Amaravashi, Kesavar, Haitana, that Rabbi Elazar, this Tana holds, Kula Mizbeach b'tzafon kai, because he holds that the majority of the Mizbeach was in the west, which meant the southernmost tip would
in
be...
north.
In the north, sorry, he was in the north, right? Which means the southernmost tip of that Mizbeach would be facing the Heichal. That would be kind of in the center of the area, parallel to the Heichal, facing it, and that's how you'd be Mekayim both. So depending on how you understand the Mizbeach, where the positioning of the Mizbeach will be how you understand this particular machlokes, except what the idea is that both opinions hold, is that you have to make sure that this mincha is brought on the southwest because we have these conflicting psukim, and we have to make sure that these psukim eventually don't conflict. Okay, so that's the first little topic that we have. Now we go back to that analysis of that particular line. So it says we do Karen Dromus Maravis Kenegan Chuda Vidayo. And we say, that's enough. So the Gemara says, my vidayu, what does it mean, that's enough? So Amar Ravashi, it's derich. No, I'll tell you what we need. Why has to say that's enough? Because Salkadai Dechamina, I would have thought the following. Tiboy Hagashas Mincha Gufa. I might think that you actually need to bring the kli containing the mincha over to the southwest corner. And then, kind of like manipulate the kli, or like bend the kli a little bit, so that the flour is touching the corner, but it's still in the kli. That's what I might think. When it says you bring the flour over to the kli, you actually bend over the kli, and like kind of like what I'm doing to the chair, you kind of like twist it a little, you know, bend it a little bit, so that without it spilling out, because if it spills out on the corner, that's going to be a problem, because where does the flour have to go? The flour has to go on the ash. It's got to be burnt, right? But, so I might think it actually has to touch. So it says, Kamash Malon, that it tells you that the Mishnah is telling you that it doesn't have to touch. So the Gemara says, Ve'im Achanami, maybe it should. So Amar Kro, V'kriva la Kohen, V'higisho la Mizbeach. So the Kohen brings it close, and he offers it on the Mizbeach. Maha Krova Eitzel Kohen Bekli, Afhagasha Eitzel Mizbeach Bekli. That just like when they bring the Mincha towards the Kohen, for the Kohen to do the Kamitza, to take out the fistful, that is with the Kli, because the person who's giving the mincha is not holding the ephah, the measurement of flour in their hand, but they're holding it in a bowl. So just like that's done in a kli, so too the hagasha on the mizbeach, the bringing on the mizbeach is also done in a kli. And that is the idea of the vidayo. So that's what we see over here. Vidayo teaches us that you don't have to actually touch the flour to the mizbeach, but what you have to do is you bring the kli and it goes ahead, and that is sufficient. Okay, let's continue on with the procedure of bringing the mincha. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says, "Masalik es levonos letzarechad." The mincha is supposed to have, a normal mincha is supposed to have frankincense, a spice that's brought on, is pushed over to one side. So why do we do this? If it's supposed to be part of the mizbeach, part of the korban, and it's going to be burnt, so then why do we move it over to the side? So the Gemara says, "Kihechid lo tikmots bahade mincha," so that you don't actually do the kamitza with and pick up the slightest bit of Lavona in that Kemitza. And what's the problem? This Kedisnan, Kamatz V'ala B'yado Tzror, or Gargar Melach, or Kurt Lavona. If when you do the Kemitza, where the Kohen takes the fistful, and then he sifts it off with his fingers, and if in that particular fistful, you have actually a little pebble, a grain of salt, or the slightest little piece of this Lavona, this frankincense type of spice, you've posseled your mincha. Why? Because it says you need a komitz. What's a komitz? A komitz is a fistful. Sometimes we don't take things completely literally, such as the Amelia Bedelia way. For those who know Amelia Bedelia, Ayin Sham. Here, this is Mamish Kipshuto Kimashmo. It's a komitz, and it has to be. And if a komitz minus one thousandth of a percent of that's not a komitz, it's not a komitz. And this is why they say that kamitza is one of the hardest avodas to do in the Beis HaMikdash. You might think, what's a big deal? You stick your hand in, you brush off the sides, what's so hard about it?
Of a fistful.
Yeah, so it's size of the fistful, right?
A fist in my fist and his fist.
Well, so it goes by the Kohen. It goes by the Kohen's fist, that's okay. But the point is, if it's got like...
We got small kahanim and we got big kahanim.
That's right, so you know, if you're a... What's it called? If you're the Kohen bringing the Chatas, or you're the Kohen in the Chatas, you want a small person because then you get more flour for yourself. You know, you want to, you can maybe manipulate which Kohen you want to go ahead and use. You know, the guy with the small fist as opposed to the, that's how it works like that. I remember my butcher or something used to have the giant hands, like I think it was all dealing with salt. You wouldn't want him to go ahead and take your kamitza because there's less flour for the Kohen to eat afterwards. But, all right. Anyways, but that's what it says over here. So literally, a komitz is pshuto kimashmo. To continue on, so afterwards, what do we do? It says the komitz yimakom shenisraba shiamna. So the komitz is taken from the place where the oil has settled. So apparently, what we're seeing over here is that there's not an issue of, you know, the komitz and then the oil. The oil is mixed in. That's okay. It's just a foreign substance that's not shemen that makes it problem. What's the problem? Because it says minol d'chsid mi salto mi shamna, and mi giriso mi shamna. So these are two different versions. One is when you take it, it's ground. Another mincha where it's not ground. But the point is, because the Torah allows shemen to be part of this komitz, so when the Torah says, you shemen, you want to make sure that it's where the oil has settled the most. In the place where it says, don't use anything else, so then it has to be Totally, totally clean. So that's why when they say, you know, ivory soap is 99.4% pure, the comets that the Kohen puts on the Mizbeach is even more pure than the ivory soap. Just so you should know. Okay. It says, Venosa l'soch klishares u'mekacho b'klishares. So what they do is they take the mincha, they put in the klishares, that's a kli that's set aside for service in the Beis HaMikdash, and then you're mekadosh it again, you bring it to the Mizbeach in the klishares also. So the Gemara wants to know, Lomali, why do you have to do it twice? Hakicha chadazimno, we already did it one time. So the Gemara says, no, midi dahavi adam. It's similar to the dam of a carbon. What do you mean in dam of a carbon? So we say the following. Dam afagav de kiddish te sakin bitsavar behema. That what? When you go ahead and shech the animal, you shech the carbon. So again, you're not just using a regular shechita knife. There are different levels of tumma, but there are also different levels of tahara. Mishnayos and Chagiga mention the highest form is kachim. And in fact, to use something for kachim, it's not enough just to go ahead and set it aside and not touch anything besides karbanos. It has to have a special tevila. It has to have a special dipping in the mikvah in order to go to kachim. It's the highest form that we have. So this is a klisharis. You're not just shechting with a standard shechita knife. You're shechting with the highest of the highest, what we would call klisharis here. But yet, what do you still have to do? In a hadr mikachale bekit klisharis. But then again, what you do, part of the avoda of a korban is to makabel the dam. And your makabel the dam, again, not in a regular bowl, but in a Beis HaMikdash type bowl, something which is Beis HaMikdash ready. So the same thing over here. That again, dam, afagav, the kaddish, te, sakin, bitsavar, behema, hadr, makish, le, bekli, shari. So hachanami, lo, shna. Here also, there is no difference. And the question is, why are we learning this out from dam? What's the significance of learning this from the dam of a korban? So Rashi points out that we know there are four different avodos by a korban. Every korban has four basic avodas. Each of these avodas is very important. It has to be done with the right intentions, and if it's done with the wrong intention, the entire korban is pasul. They all have to be lishma. And those are shechita, slaughtering it, kabbalah, catching the dam, holacha, bringing it to the mizbeach, and zrika, and sprinkling on the mizbeach. Well, a mincha has an equivalent for each of them, meaning you're not doing shechita. If you see a kohen walking around with a knife, going ahead and like starting to go ahead and cut flour like this, that's probably a kohen who's going to be removed from his service, and they'll consider him as a balmum, probably not in his body, but maybe between the ears a little bit. You don't see that type of ishchita. So what type of ishchita are we doing? So we're saying the kamitza, or that kometz, is the equivalent of ishchita for a mincha. Placing it in the klisharis is the kabbalah, bringing the klisharis to the mizbech is the holacha, and the Haktara Sakometz is this Zrika Sadam. So that's how we're able to go ahead and learn Zrikas, or the idea of a mincha, from a standard korban. Okay, let's continue on. We're now on the second to last line of Yadalim Abeis. Umalaket is Levonasov and Nosna al Gabav. Then, after you do the Kometz, then you take the Levona and put the Levona on top of the Kometz, tichsiv, this call of ona asher al hamincha. Again, we're learning this pshuto kimashmau. It's literally right on top of it. And then as we flip over to test vavim aleph, ma'alehu umaktiro bechli sharis. You then, at that particular point, you bring it up to the mizbeach and you burn it in a kli sharis. So the Gemara says, bechli sharis, ma'akterle, what you're burning in a kli sharis? So I just thought the simple question is, what do you mean? What are you going to burn in a kli sharis? No, you don't burn in a kli sharis. You actually take the mincha and out of the klisharis and part of the mizbeach. But Rashi says that's not exactly what we're asking. We're asking over here because this is out of the order. Because the top Rashi, if you just look at it, Rashi says at the end of the first line, v'hacha kakashile maktira sakadaitach v'arayadayin lo malcha. You didn't put the salt on the mincha. We know putting the salt on the mincha is a very important thing. That's why, of course, every time we go ahead and make hamotzi, we go ahead and dip the pas in salt also because of Shulchan Shal Adam Domal Mizbeach. So over here it says you didn't put the salt on. So Al Mahashtu Hudimakterle. The question that Rashi is telling us over here is it seems to be out of order. This process of bringing the mincha on the fire, right at this point, before we mention the actual salting, is going out of order. So that's the question the Gemara asks. So the Gemara says, Ela Ema Maleu Bichli Sharis Lihaktiro. It's not maktiro, that you actually burn it, but you position it to burn it. And at that point, that's when you would add the melach, and then you continue on, and that's what the next part of the quote that we're bringing down. It says, umolcho V'dosnu al gabi ha'ishim, and why is this tichsiv v'chol karboncha b'melech timlach v'gomer, that very famous pasuk that we have, that we get salt, orim, and achos, and then we say, kariv ha'komets yareh necholim. So once the komets, or the fistful, was burnt, or, I shouldn't say that, don't want to get into trouble, once the fistful was offered on the Mizbeach, the leftover mincha can be eaten by the Kohanim. Right? The general rule is that a mincha that's brought by Yisrael can be eaten by Kohanim. Happens to be that if a Kohen brings his own mincha, that mincha's got to be completely burnt, but the mincha brought by Yisrael or Levi, that can be eaten by a Kohen. It's got to be male, it's got to be in Yerushalayim, it's one of the, it's a din of a kachi kachim. But the question the Gemara wants to know is, minalan, how do we know this? It says, v'iktira Kohen is askarasa, the Kohen will offer the part that's supposed to be mentioned, the part that goes up to Hashem. Uchsiv, and afterwards it says, Vanoseris mena mincha li Aaron ulevanov. The rest of it goes to Aaron and his sons, in other words, the male Kohanim. So the Gemara says, Karif HaKometz. And the Kometz is brought. Now, for those who are proficient in Meseches Menachos, this should ring a bell. For those of us, like me, who are not proficient in Meseches Menachos, I'll read the Gemara, and the Gemara says, that, oh, that will ring a bell. Because if it happens to be as a machlokes in Meseches Menachos, and it says, Lamarka de Islay or Lamarka de Islay, it could be understood according to both opinions. Now, what both opinions are we talking about in Meseches Menachos? About a Kohen eating the mincha? It's good, this is the question that they ask you to get into shul. If you know that answer, then you can come in. If you don't know that answer, you can't come in. Right? We don't want that to be, I mean, we make this the password, we can probably be very exclusive in our membership. Mm-hmm. But it says over here, De'isamar, as it says in the Mar Menachos, HaKometz me'imasei matir shiyarim ba'achila. From what point does the Kometz allow you to, Kohen to eat the leftovers? So Rabbi Chanina Amar Misha Tishlo Bo Ha'or, that from when as soon as the fire takes place and starts to burn the mincha, and Rabbi Yochanan Amar Misha Tatzis Ha'or Barubo, when most of the majority of the Kometz is consumed by the fire. Because again, and the Gemara in Menachos says, Machlokas is really based on the thing. How do we understand the word vehiktir? It says it's going to be burnt. So hiktir could mean as soon as the fire starts to take effect, that's already considered to be vehiktir. It's burning, it's burning. Or do you say, no, it's actually completely burnt? Well, probably the rule, rubo kakulo, it's mostly burnt. And that's when you would go ahead and say that it's mutter to be eaten. So again, a machlokas is about how do we interpret the word vehiktir. It's open-ended. It can mean from when the fire starts, and you can say it's burning, or you could also say meaning from when it's burnt. Okay? The last of the small little discussions we have here, and then we're going to get into something a little bit longer. It says, Ve'nasurun ella, I'll say two more discussions, my mistake. We're up to V'rashoyin koan mitin. I'm sorry, V'rashoyin ha'kohanim litein l'socho yayin shemen u'dvash. The kohanim, when they're eating the mincha, they can go ahead and add into it wine, oil, and honey. You can make it into like a flavor type of like a pancake or something like that. It says, so my time, what's the reason? So Amar Kral l'moshcha, where the Torah speaks about the melachim, the menachos, it says it's got to be like l'moshcha v'ayolach, for l'moshcha, it should be like for anointing. So what does that mean? L'gedula, for greatness, k'derosh shemelachim ochlin. So when the Kohanim eat this mincha, when the Kohanim eat the mincha, they should flavor it, they should season it, they should make it taste good, because this is a chashiva type of maichel. You're eating it because you're a Kohen, you're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're serving the melech, and when you're getting food that's used to serve the melech, so the king's food, presumably, is a higher quality than the hamonam, than the regular people. Ve'in asurin ela michametz. The only thing you're not allowed to do is have chametz on a dechsiv. Lo se'afeh chametz. The mincha should not be burnt with chametz. Chelkom nasati yosol li'ishai. That's the rest of the pasuk. It says, kodesh kodeshim hi kachatos v'chasham. That when it comes to the mincha, it says it shouldn't be baked with chametz. Rather, the portion is given. I gave the portion to the Kohanim from my fire offerings. It's a kodesh kadoshim like a chatas and asham, and it can't be eaten outside of the walls of the azara, and it can only be eaten by males. That's what the Torah tells us. So it tells us two things. Number one, you shouldn't have chametz in the mincha. Number two, the portion goes to the Kohanim, and is a din of kachi kachim. Here, though, what the Gemara is going to be doing is the Gemara is going to be adding that the word chelkom is not only understood the way I read it. Lo se'afeh chametz, as the Torah says, with a zakef katon on top, the pause, it shouldn't be baked with chametz. Chelkam, the portion given to the Kohanim, nasati yosam me'ishai, is given to the Kohanim from my burnt offerings. What the Gemara is doing over here is telling us that we're actually going to take this chelkam and attach it to the first clause of the pasuk, and read the pasuk homiletically is saying, lo se'afeh chametz chelkam. Not just that the mincha can't be prepared as chametz, but also their portion can't also be put in chametz. As it says, on Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, afilu chelkam lo se'afeh chametz. Even their portion can't be used with chametz. So, if somebody wants to go ahead and make the mincha into pancakes, adding honey and oil, it has to be the Pesach recipe as opposed to the chametz recipe. So now you might ask a question. Well, so chametz pancakes, you try to buy it in the store, it costs a lot more money. So they have a tzadzuchus over here, because what happens? We said that eating of the menachos has to be betzuras shulchan malachim. It's got to be like you're eating from the gedula. So if you're buying the king's food, you're going to have to pay for the king's food. So maybe that's why all this Pesach stuff is so much money, because it's just like the menachos. Knows? Okay. Anyways, let's continue on. And let's go on to now Brisa, which is going to be leading to a much larger discussion. And it says, Kol ha-menachos v'chule. We're going to have now a contrast. And it says that all the menachos need shemen ulvona. It needs oil and this frankincense, the spice, while the mincha of the sota does not. So the Gemara says, wait a second. V'chol ha-menachos te'unos shemen ulvona. Does that all the menachos really need shemen ulvona? Va'ika minchas chote. There's the mincha that a chote sometimes brings. As where does a chote bring a mincha? So the Torah tells us at the end of Parshas Vayikra, there are different categories of chatas. And one of the categories involves a certain number of sins. One of them, let's say, for example, is shvuas eidus. One takes a shvua that he doesn't know any eidus and ends up being a false shvua that they didn't know, that they thought they didn't see anything and they swore falsely, and it turns out that they were wrong, so they have to bring what they call a korban olaviyorid. What is a korban olaviyorid? So a korban olaviyorid is a korban whose korban itself fluctuates based on the financial situation of the one who brings it. Meaning, if a person is wealthy, he brings an animal. If a person is poor, he brings a bird. If a person is dali shebedalim, which is the poorest of the poor, he brings flour, he brings a mincha. This is what the idea of a korban olav yorid is. It's not that it goes up on the mizbech and goes down, but rather the material or the animal, the chefs of the korban, depends on the financial status of the sinner. So in speaking about this minchas chote, the Gemara says, v'ha'ika minchas chote, d'rachmana amar, lo yosim ole Hashem, v'lo yitena ole levona. You can't put oil on it, and you can't put levona also. So why are you telling me that only the minchas sota doesn't have these items on it? A regular minchas chote also doesn't have these items on it. So Gemara says, Hachi Kamar, this is what the Mishnah means. Kol menachos tu'uno shemen ulevona. All menachos need shemen ulevona. Ubaos menachitim, they come from wheat. Ubaos soles, and it's the finest flour. Minchas chote, though, is going to be different. Afa pisha'ina tu'una shemen ulevona, even though it doesn't require shemen ulevona, but ba menachitim uba menasoles, still, it's wheat, and it's from the finest flour. Minchas Omer is another different type of korban. And what do we see about the Minchas Omer? Afa pishi ba min ha-se'orin, even though it's from barley, te'una shemer levona. It still needs oil and frankincense, uba geres. It happens to be the only korban, or the only korbanos that we bring that's unsifted. Okay, that was the dinim of the Minchas Omer. Vizo, but this Minchas Sota, ina te'una, lo shemen, lo levona, doesn't require shemen, doesn't require levona, uba min ha-se'orin, uba kemach. It is the lowest of the lows. It misses all the additional accoutrements that we have of the shemen and levona. It's from a lower quality of grain of barley, and it's from kemach, which is the lowest type of flour. And if you learned earlier, I believe it's going to explain it again also. It's because this is what we call ma'achal behema, and says that she did a ma'isa behema, so therefore, her korban is ma'achal behema to remind her of what she did. adding on to this discussion, we bring a brisa brought down from Rabbi Shimon. I'm Rabbi Shimon, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon. Bidinu shetei minchas chotei teuna shemen ulavona. Really, the mincha v'chotei should include these two items. Why? Shelo yehei chotei niskar. And this is the concept, shelo yehei chotei niskar, that we mentioned earlier. Think about it for a second. A person who wants to go ahead and bring a regular mincha. So, he has to pay for the solas. He's got to pay for the wheat. And he also has to pay for the oil. And he's got to pay for the lavona. And if the price of oil is high, like it is in the market today, so then it's going to cost them more significant amount of money than a person who brings a minchas chote. And look, he's getting off. He spends less on his korban. So look at this. You can see a person staying there and saying, wait a second. I'm bringing minchas nedava and I'm spending, let's say, $100 on my korban. This person who sinned is only paying $75. Why should it be that me, who's doing something nice, I'm bringing a voluntary mincha, I want to get closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, so I got to pay more? It's going to cost me more to do the right thing than this guy who's sinning, who did the wrong thing, and he seems to be getting a $25 bonus? So what the Gemara ends up saying is, or the Bryce ends up saying, we may not to uno, so why doesn't it require it? Shelo yehei korbanu mehudar, because his korban shouldn't be beautiful. So that's all nice, fine and dandy, korban shouldn't be beautiful, but this concept of shelo yechotei niskar is a concept that's not just over here. It's a Shas concept. We have it in many cases. Why don't we include it over here? So the Mincha Chareva brings down, the truth is the chotei might save a little bit of money, but they're not really being rewarded. Because, think about it for a second, the way they would bring karbonos is that they all line up. So the person who's lining up to bring a regular mincha, so he has the lavona and he's got the shemen over there. And then you're standing there with the mincha chote with like no shemen, no lavona. Everybody's looking at you. They kind of realize that, oh, this guy's a chote. Furthermore, if the mincha chote, if the person who's bringing the mincha chote would actually add in a little shemen or add in a little lavona, guess what happens? We don't accept the karbon. So,
Just like with the kmitza that he said, if it's a little bit less, it doesn't count, right? It
doesn't count, yeah. So what we're kind of doing over here is, you know, you're right. So kind of like the humiliation that they're feeling over here, you're right. So they're going to save a couple of dollars, but sometimes the personal humiliation that they're going to be feeling, the korban should be mehudar, that's valued as a lot more than the amount of dollars that you're going to be saving. Again, you're taking a different metric. You're not using dollars and cents, but you're using this particular thing that, oh, wow, everybody's going to realize I'm in carbon. Or even if not, people don't realize, but the chote is going to realize that my carbon looks different. And it's quite, and he's going to feel very insecure about themselves. And I'm like, listen, they did a sin. They're supposed to. It's part of the tshuva process. Yes, if a person of a chote felt secure about what they did, and they're like, oh, you sinned, wonderful. What's that going to do? It's going to encourage you to sin a little bit more. This is supposed to kind of get you to, you know, to realize, you know, I did the wrong thing. I have to feel bad. The first step of tshuva is, well, after Aziva Sachet, I mean, you've got to stop sinning. But after that comes Charata, you feel bad. Person's busy saying, oh, I'm terrible, right? I'm feeling, right? The guy's giving, saying Vidu about Lashon Hara, and then he goes, did you hear what he just did? You know, that's not really, you know, but the idea is that there is an element of Charata. So that actually is what supersedes the financial benefit of the Shelo Yechotei Niskar. We continue on with this discussion. It says, Ubedinhu, continuing on, it should be shetehei chatas chelev to una nesachim, that the chatas of a chelev, or sorry, that the burning of a chatas of an animal should also require nesachim wine like a normal korban does. Shelo yechotei niskar, because again, somebody offers a shlamim, they gotta contribute wine, and the wine is only a certain type of wine they can use. It's gotta be based on mikdash wine. They didn't really accept wine from any other area unless it was yontif because of the high Tahara standards that it's needing, so clearly it's going to be a little more expensive. So this guy's going to say, what's it called? So the guy who's bringing a chatas kind of saves money, as opposed to the guy who's bringing a shlum. So we say, no, mimani atuna, shloye korbanu mehudar, same type of thing. That this idea of loye korbanu mehudar supersedes the financial benefits that he gets of shloye chotei niskar. Of al chatasu shal mitzora v'ashamo tuunin nesachim, but the chatas of a mitzora and the asham that a mitzora brings at the end, they need to bring the sachim. Why do they have to bring the wine? L'fishein boim alchei, because the asham of a mitzora and the chatas of a mitzora don't come because of a sin. So wait a second. This is going to go ahead and fly right in the face of everything we've learned. What have we always learned in school? What causes saras? Lashon Hara. By the way, that's not only true, as you're going to see that Lashon Hara is only one of the causes. But, you know, you're going to talk about to a kid, a classroom of children, don't speak Lashon Hara. You're going to say, oh, don't have Gassus HaRuach. Like, third grader's not going to know what Gassus HaRuach is before they can even have it. But in terms of over here, we're going to say, yeah, so Lashon Hara, it tells you, you know, it's something which is a little bit tangible. So that's why it gets the most, it gets, you know, the biggest publicity and stuff like that. But Lashon Hara is one of seven, or Tzaras HaAyin, not giving enough tzedakah. Lashon Hara is one of the seven, but we all know that Negayim come, it's like a spiritual punishment for an Avera. So this is what, the Gemara wants to ask. Aini, for Amr of Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amr of Yochanan, Al Shiva Devarim Negayim Bayim V'chulei, Negayim come for seven different Averos. So because Negayim come for seven different Averos, so what do you mean over here we're saying that, wait a second, oh, the Ashim of a Mitzorah requires the Sachem because it's not coming because of an Avera. What do you mean? The Gemara and Erechin, we're quoting over here, tells us it comes from not just one Avera, but there's seven different Averas that can bring this about. So we say, no. Hasa minige hu de achperle. This Korban is a little bit different. Normally when we're talking about a Korban, the Korban is what goes ahead and brings the Kapara. Here, the Kapara does not come from the Korban itself, but rather the Kapara comes from the suffering and the shame and the isolation and the different halachos that the Mitzorah has to go through. You look at those halachos, and the Maran Moed Katan actually learns many of the halachos of a velus from Mitzorah. They compare and contrast them. So thinking about this a second, the Mitzorah's got to sit there, his face covered. Somebody comes over to talk to him. He says, Tommy, get away from me. You can't even be near me. And they got to live by themselves, Badad Yeshev. That already is going to bring the Kapara. You don't need the Korban to bring the Kapara. So if that's the case, then what do we need the Korban for? So the Korban, it comes from something different. It says, Ki Maisi Korban, Lishtaruyi Bikachim Hu Demaisi. It comes to allow him to go ahead and eat Korbanos, because Mitzorah is an avatoma. An avatoma is not allowed to go ahead and eat a Korban. So what happens is, you bring this Korban as your purification process, and then the next day, then you're going able to do it there. So this Korban does not really coming because of the chait. The chait is already, the punishment is already coming. It's not a punitive Korban, but rather it's a, this Korban is what we would call a matir. Therefore, we go ahead and have it bring, we allow you to go ahead and bring nisachim for that. So there's one more quase that they ask from, though. It says, Elamiyata, chatas nazir, tehei tuna nisachim. So the chatas that a nazir brings, and Tosos points out already, Rashi is going to allude to this also, that, you know, the Torah, the Nazir that we're talking about, the Chatas that the Nazir is bringing, is not the Nazir Chatas that he would bring if he becomes tummy in the middle. That's a totally different Korban. That's a Korban made out of a bird. And the Korban from a bird never gets Nesachim. We're talking about the Chatas that a Nazir brings at the end of his term. In other words, let's say somebody says they want to be a Nazir for a year. As soon as that year is up, they have to go ahead and go through a whole procedure. It's mentioned in Parshas Naso. And one of the things that they bring is a Korban. And one of those Korban, I'm sorry, is a Korban Chatas. One of the Korbans they bring is a Chatas. So we said, this Chatas should require Nisachim, because clearly what type of a sin are you doing? I understand. You went ahead and made a promise that I'm going to live on a higher level of Kedusha. And the Chutzpah, what did you do? You kept your promise and you lived on a higher level of Kedusha. Bam, bring a Chatas. What are you going doing wrong over here? So the Gemara says, Savalar ki Rabbi Elazar HaKafar d'amar Nazir Nami Chotehu. It's a famous shita by Rabbi Elazar HaKafar, who says that, no, but Nazir is also a sinner. What type of a sinner is he?
That he's not drinking the wine.
What do you say? Yeah, because Rashi says, right, Shetzir Asam in a Yain. That, no, he didn't drink any wine. So this is a whole question that Mefarshim and Chumash want to go ahead and take up there. It's a very interesting Ramban. It's referred to you. I'm not going to go into it now. But there's a very interesting Ramban which talks about what exactly does he do wrong if he actually makes a neder and he attains a level of Kedusha. This level of Kedusha is a high thing to the point where in Sefer Amos, they go ahead and compare Nazirim to Nevi'im.
Oh.
And yet over here, he's going ahead and doing this type of Avera because he was Tzir Atzom Min HaYayin. Okay, so if you look at the Ramban in Parshas Nazir, in Parshas Naso, a fascinating idea at a very interesting perspective. You can also see the Chabura on WhatsApp, and it's going to be there also. So, anyways, let's continue on, finishing up. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Kishem V'chule, Sotanya Amar Lehem, Rabbi Gamliel Lechachamim, Sofrim, Hanichu Liv Edreshena. Leave me, and I'm going to go ahead and understand this concept that's mentioned in the Mishnah. And again, what is mentioned in the Mishnah? So the Mishnah just gives us a quote that's mentioned in the Mishnah. Let's read it over here. It says, Kishem Shemaisa Behema, Kishem Shemaaseha Maisa Behema, Kach Karbono Machal Behema. So Rabbi Gamliel says the following. Kimin Chomer de Shame Lermeir de Kaamar, he hechiloso madani olam. She went ahead and fed him the highest, the most quality foods. The fichla carbona machal behema. Kind of like, you know, in contrast. So the Gemara said, wait, they said back, wait a second. Amrale, Atena Hashira, that's great if you go ahead. And if the Sota lady is a society person who's rich, but let's say the Sota is a very poor person, where is she going ahead and affording the $65 steak that she's going ahead and feeding the person, or the truffle oil, or the other whatever stuff that they're going ahead and feeding that they sell for a lot of money these days, right? Let's say she's a poor person and she can only afford chicken nuggets. So why? What does this mean over here? So we're saying, Hatena Chashira, Aniya Maika Lamemar, Ela Kashem Shemaseha Maise Behema, Kach Korbona Macha Behema. So that's what Rabbi Gamliel is doing, is explaining what the Mishnah means, that it's not just the type of food that she's giving him, is there's a machal, is a wonderful machal, to contrast to that. No, we're saying that no, just the opposite. It's a comparison. We're saying that she acts in a way of a behema, and therefore what happens is her korban ends up being like the food of an animal. All right, so we have time just to start the next discussion. The Mishnah, go to hopefully the two dots on the bottom. It's really going to be one big discussion that we have. So let's just get to it quickly. So the Mishnah says, Hayamevi Pile Shalcheres, you would bring a basket made out of earthenware, Vinos from the Socho, and you place inside of it Chatzi Log Mayim in a Kiyar, half a log of water from the Kiyar, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Revius. It was less. Just around 3 ounces, as opposed to chatzi log, which I believe is half a liter. Now, why is this? Because Rabbi Yehuda says, just like we have very little writing, we minimize the writing, we minimize the water also. What does this mean? So the machlok is brought down later on in the Mishnah. I believe it's on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, that it talks about what exactly do they write down on the tablet that they erase and put into the water. So the Tanakhama says you start already from the beginning, a little bit of interesting, you know, you write down the Shvuah, Hazim Lo Shachav Isho Sach, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. Rabbi Yehuda says we don't go ahead and maximize the amount of writing that we do. We just basically say the words, Yitain Hashem Li Olav L'Shvuah B'Sochamech Uvo Amayim Amarim. We just go ahead and just write what's going to happen to you. And Rabbi Yehuda's idea is based on the fact that he said, we're going to be erasing these psukim. Why write more? Just to go ahead and erase. So Rabbi Yehuda says, just like we minimize the amount of writing, we're also going to minimize the amount of water. What happens? Nichnas lahechel, they enter the hechel, uponali mino, and then they turn right. Umokam hayasham ama al ama, there was a place that was a square ama. Vetablish oshayish, it had a little, it was a marble tile. And there was a ring inside of it. And what's the ring there for? The ring was Shahu Magbiya, that they would stick either their hand into it or stick a cling into it. And from that ring, they would lift up this tile. The no-till offer mitachtel. And that's where they would get the dirt for, or the dust for the sota. The no-sin kadesh yir el amayim. Then you place it on top of the water afterwards so it could be appear on the water. Shenamar, as the pasuk says, "Umina afar asher yebikarka mishkan yikacha kohen v'nosan el hamayim." It doesn't say, as Rashi says, "Bamayim ella el hamayim," which means it's not mixed. So, not to go ahead and make coffee unappetizing, but for those who really hold that instant coffee is unappetizing, and there might be some of us in this room, but if you usually what you do is, to make it less unappetizing, at least you put the coffee powder in first and then put the water on top. But if you ever do it the other way around, the coffee is much more dense and the coffee actually sits on top of the water, Right? If anybody, this is not the way to describe it. If you want to make instant coffee fans, you know,
it doesn't always melt all the way.
Right. You have to go ahead and stir it. You have to, and even then, sometimes it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Right. So this is the same idea that the offer of that they're going to put on in the water also has to be on top. Some of it might get in, but you have to have that layer of dirt on top. And now we're going to go ahead and just discuss halacha of the kli cheres. So it says Tana Pile Shel Cheres Chadasha Divrei Rabbi Shmo, that the kli that they use to put the water in has to be brand new. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. My time at Rabbi Yishmael, what's Rabbi Yishmael's reasoning? Rabbi Yishmael says, Gomer kli kli mi mitzora. We have Xavier Shava from Mitzora. Malaholon kli cher, malaholon cheres kadasha. Afka and cheres kadasha. Just like the Mitzora where you use water in a kli cheres and you use blood in a kli cheres and it's got to be new. So sotu by sotu, it also has to be new. V'hasa mi nalon. Where do we know over there that it's got to be new? So it says, "Tichsiv v'shachar asatipor achas el kli cheres al mayim chayim." You're gonna shech the first bird, part of the mitzvah purification process, and the blood's gonna be received in an earthenware vessel, and the blood's gonna go on top of mayim chayim, which is, besides for a soda company, it also means running water. So ma mayim chayim shalom nasta behen malacha. Just like, you know, mayim chayim, running water, is it pure? You never use it for, the water that's flowing in a river is not used for any work. You're not using it for any irrigation or to power, you know, for growing things or to planting and stuff like that. So too, af kli shlo nasta b'malacha. So therefore, the kli also has to be like the mayim chayim and never used for any work. In other words, it's a new kli. So imala hala mayim chayim, af kan mayim chayim. So if we're going to be going ahead and saying, oh, so what are we going to do? We're going to learn the kli cheres of sota from mitzora. Just like the kli cheres of a sota has to be, of a mitzora has to be new, the kli cheres of a sota has to be new too. Mitzora new, sota new. So wait a second. The limud over there tells you that by mitzora, you need mayim chayim. You need fresh flowing water. We don't use fresh flowing water. We use water from the kiyar. It's good water, but it's not flowing from a stream. So the Gemara asks, Imalahal and Mayim Chaim, Afkan Mayim Chaim? So Rabbi Yishmael Lachanami, according to Rabbi Yishmael, yeah, you would. The Amar, Rabbi Yochanan, Mei Kior. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Mei Mayon Haim. I'm sorry, the Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says, Mei Kior. Where does the water of the Kior come from? Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Mei Mayon Haim. No, it actually is water from a fresh spring. Rechacham Omer, Meshar Mei Mos Haim. No, it comes from somebody else. It comes from somewhere else. So Eklam Mifrach, we can ask a question on this limud that we made. Learning out sota from mitzora. Mal mitzora shekin ton eitz eras ve'ezo v'shniso las. So wait a second. But mitzora has a chumra. The chumra is you also have to add into the mixture the cedar wood, and you add the hyssop plant, and you add wool strings of red. You're not doing this over there by the sota, so maybe you can't equate the two dinim. So Amar Rabba, Amar Kra bichli cheres kli shamarti kvar, because it says bichli cheres, it's referring to the type of kli cheres, so it's not really a hekish type of limud that we have over there, Xavier Shava type of limud, but rather what we're doing is says we're saying it's got to be in the same type of kli cheres. Where do we have a kli cheres? We have a kli cheres by mitzora, so it has to meet those requirements. So Amar Rabba says lo shanu elo shlo nisachmu panov. Aval nisachmu panov psulim. So we're talking about new. New doesn't only necessarily mean a one-time only, and then once you use it, you gotta dispose of it. It says it means that its appearance hasn't become darkened from use. In other words, you're gonna use this clay bowl a number of times. So yes, it's gonna get, you know, stained from the water, and it's gonna change its appearance. So Rabbi says, as long as it hasn't changed its appearance, it's gonna be okay. So my time with Duma de Mayim. Ma Mayim Shlonishtanu Av Kli Shlonishtana. So just like water, you know, the appearance hasn't changed, so the Kli hasn't changed either. So now we have a question. So Bai Rava, Nisachmu, let's say the appearance changed. But what happens? Vechzirim Lesoch Kivshan Esh. You brought it back into the kiln. Vinislabu, and it comes out of the kiln totally looking new. So Mahu, what's the halacha? Do we treat this as something new again? Because it looks new? Or do we say it's still old? I guess Rosen Shul yesterday is, what's Chadash? Right, what the rabbi was talking about yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. It's a new house, or it was a house with renovations and stuff like that. good way to end this year, you know, sponsored by Omo Construction, speaking about the renovations, right? So it says, Mi Amrinan, Kevan de Idchu, Idchu? Do we say that since it was pushed off, it was pushed off? O Dilma Kevan de Hadur, Hadur. So Tashima, we have a proof. Amr Rabbi Elezer Omer, Rabbi Elezer says, Eitz Erez Ve'ezo Vushni Solas, Shehivshul Kupasul Acharav Psulim. What happens is, if you go ahead and take the Erez and the Ezo from the Mitzorah, and you use it to make handles on your basket, it's going to be pasul. So the Gemara says, wait a second. The Hasam Hadri Umefashte, what are you doing? You take it, it's like a branch. You bend it to make a handle, and then afterwards, you straighten it up. What do we see? You've used it as a kli, and then you've restored it. And we're saying it's still pasul, so it should be the same thing over here. You've used it as a kli. You've restored it. It should be possible. So the Gemara says you can't bring a riot from there. Why? Because hasam de iklufi klufe. Because when you're bending the branches, you might have stepped off a little bit, might have peeled it a little bit. So it's not really the same thing. It's not like going back to the restoration. But over here, you put it on the fire, it might be the restoration. So the truth is, there's a sugya that we learned in Sukkah, which brings down nira v'nidche v'nira. If something was fit, and then it becomes unfit, and then it comes fit again, could you use it? And the Gemara over there left with the suffix. So why would there be even a question over here? Say it's the same. So the truth is, the halacha by a kli cheres is a kli cheres cannot become tame, cannot become tar anymore. It becomes tame, it's got to be broken. But if you go ahead and place it in the fire, what happens? Then, by breaking it, and then remaking it in the fire, in the kiln, it becomes tar again. So you see that the concept exists by a kli cheres that it could end up being new and improved, right? Tar again, it's used a new kli. So that was the question that we were trying to bring over here, because this is not just simply, you know, nira v'nidcha v'nira. Maybe this concept that we view it as new lagabe tahara might be the case over here. Ultimately, we have no resolution, and the question remains a teku. Right? Wonderful week.